Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
I want to invite up one more Missio College student. Tanya, come on up here. Today, I have the privilege of team preaching the Word of God with my friend Tanya. Tanya is our middle school pastor, and I am super excited that she is here. There's a lot that you need to know about her. I mean, she's got a great calling on her life. She's killing it with our middle school ministries. And one interesting thing about you, I found out yesterday, you believe strongly that pineapple should be on pizza.
Oh, yeah. Who else is with me? I'm giving some applause. I'm excited. Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited to be here. Usually I'm in the youth center on Sundays, like a block from us, so you guys probably don't see me around here. But there are some students here as well that are usually in the youth center with me, so they might not know who this guy is. Don't look at his name tag. Don't cheat, okay? Yell his name on three if you know. One, two, three. Brian! Who got it right? No, it's not Brian. Just kidding. It is Pastor Rob. He's our lead pastor. And a fun fact about Rob that I learned yesterday is he likes his hummus original only, no adding any type of flavor. So if you guys have a different opinion, bring all that hummus to his office, okay?
Keep your red pepper hummus to yourself, okay? And those of you that have ever purchased chocolate hummus, which how is that even a thing? It's right up there. It might be an unpardonable sin, but His grace covers all. His grace covers all. Hey, look, today we're going to be opening up the Word of God. We're looking at a really cool narrative in the Gospel of John. And I'm excited to look at this narrative with you. And in it, I think you're going to see all these different didn't see that coming moments. And hope that you're going to enjoy this series we're in right now, didn't see that coming. Sometimes there's things in life we don't see coming, like pigs flying and coming into church and seeing pigs flying on stage. Yeah. And there's all these surprises that we hope to bring into the elements of the services in these next couple of weeks. But really what we want you to see is the goodness of God and his character during these surprises throughout Scripture. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he uses some of these detours and these surprises for his glory and to form us.
That's right. Today, we are going to talk about this family that Jesus actually really, really loves. They live in this town called Bethany. That's about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. You see Jesus actually go to this town a few times throughout Scripture. But these are three siblings. They're all a little bit different. We have Mary, we have Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus actually has a unique relationship with each of them, but he loves all of them, like, really dearly. They're like that one person that's like a part of your family, but they're not really like actually blood family, but they're like, that's family. I have a person like that in my life, and her name is Rachel. Rachel and I have been friends for over 20 years. She comes around to my family. My mom treats her like a daughter, and some of my nieces and nephews actually call her Auntie. So one day, my nephew, he goes, Auntie Tanya, why do we call Rachel Auntie? She's not even Asian. But that's the kind of love that we're talking about today, the love that transcends DNA. So we're going to be in John 11. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, you definitely can, but we will also have it on the screen. And just like last week, whatever is underlined, would you please read along with Rob and I? All right, we're going to start at verse 3. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea.
Here I see one of our first didn't see that coming moments, because Jesus has been going around, he's been healing people everywhere he goes, and he gets word that one of his best friends is sick, and he doesn't drop everything and go and heal him. And I can't imagine how offended Mary and Martha probably were. And yet, he also brings kind of these things, and he says, his sickness will not end in death. I don't know what's happening here. Is that supposed to be a word of comfort to these disciples? Here we have a surprise. Here we have a bit of a delay in his coming. In many ways, it's a detour. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like it when I see these signs when I'm trying to get somewhere. When I'm driving somewhere, I want to get there quickly. But when there is a delay or a detour, that's not my favorite. And here, Jesus decides that he's going to delay. And he also gives this kind of vague reason of why. He says, I'm going to delay so that the Son of God will receive glory. What does that really mean? Well, the author of this gospel, John, has been leaving us some breadcrumbs. And throughout his gospel, he's been telling us that actually Jesus becoming man, the incarnation, part of that is a revelation of God's glory. Jesus taking on flesh and walking the earth makes the invisible visible. We get to see his presence in his power firsthand. And so here Jesus is saying these aspects of God will be made known to you because of Lazarus's sickness. For us, there's a reminder here. Sometimes purposeful delays, detours actually have a reason, and they are so that God's glory can be shown. This happens throughout Scripture. You know that story in the Old Testament, the guy with the coat of many colors?
Many colors, yes.
Yeah, Joseph is his name. And Joseph's this guy, as a young kid, he's sold into slavery by his brothers. He's falsely accused. He's imprisoned. All these terrible things are happening to him. And yet, at the end of the story, we see that God redeems those things for a purpose. He's put into a place of power and actually is able to save his family and many of the people of Israel during a famine. And so we need to remember that sometimes the detours and the delays are not denials or no's from God, but something bigger is transpiring. God doesn't always cause these things. He didn't cause Lazarus's sickness, but he is in the business of redeeming those things for his purposes, for his glory, and for our growth.
You know, Rob, what you're saying is beautiful, but I got to be honest. I just like hate waiting. Does anybody else like not like waiting like me?
Okay. I'm preaching to myself right now.
Yes, 10 people in the church house is telling the truth. I love it.
10 people.
Just kidding. No. But you're right. I guess you're right. We don't really see the purpose or even favor in a delay until much later.
So much later. Let's keep going.
All right.
Verse 8, and please continue to read with us. Even those of you online, we want to hear you. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are we going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and I will wake him up.
This is so good. Let me just pause here for a second because I feel like there are so many layers that I just kind of quickly want to touch on. So Jesus says here, he says, during the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of the world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. All right.
What's happening?
Hello?
Hey, don't
what
panic. Don't panic.
Rob, don't leave. Don't leave.
No,
don't
put
this. This is not a prank, right?
Out.
Please.
Actually, if you could do us a quick favor, if you have your phones out, would you mind just putting your flashlights on and let's get some light in this room so that I can actually see what we're talking about?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Wow. Look what a difference this light is making in this room.
There's like an analogy there, I bet.
I love it. So let's just keep going. Thanks, you guys, for the light. So light here in this verse can mean a few things. It can mean the physical light that you guys are holding up right now, where it helps us see where we're going and even others around you, right? But it also points to something deeper. It points to spiritual light. So Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world. He is our spiritual light. That means he's the one showing us the way to God. He's keeping us from stumbling, and he guides us safely through life. Oh, thank you guys. Thank you so much,
Tech Crew. We appreciate you.
You guys are the best. All right, lastly, this light also that Jesus talks about is also missional. So that means when he lives inside of all of us, and his light shines through us, so which in turn helps others see him more clearly. So the light is not just for our benefit, it's meant to shine so that others can find their way to him too. So light reveals path and it draws people out of the darkness. So when we walk with Jesus, we can trust where and when he leads, even if it's in dark places, because his light will always lead to life and truth and resurrection.
Good. We are the light of the world. It's a pretty powerful thing. Amen. Hey, the story continues, and Mary gets word, and Martha gets word that Jesus is on his way. And Martha runs out to meet Jesus. And when she gets there, she's pretty honest with him and says, Jesus, what in the world? If you had been here, my brother would not be dead. And we pick up the story in verse 25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. One of the didn't see that coming moments here for me is that Martha is the one that goes out to meet Jesus and not Mary. Because Mary is the one that we always see at the feet of Jesus, the one who always seemingly wants to be in her presence. And yet here we see Martha being the first one out there. And here Jesus speaks this line that we know is a powerful line. We sing about it. We talk about it. I am the resurrection and the life. But what in the world does this really mean?
Yes, and I just want to quickly note here, I actually really love Martha, not just because I literally have Martha energy, but you actually preached a sermon on Martha a few weeks ago on perfectionism, which if you missed, check it out online, really good. But it's actually really true. A lot of people tend to tell us to like not be Martha, but right here in this excerpt, this is such a deep and powerful show of faith. So she's not giving show me first here where you have to prove to her before she believes. Her faith is actually not dependent on any signs or miracles that Jesus can give because it's already rooted. So let's just actually be in her shoes for a minute, okay? Right here in this scene, even in her heartbreak where she's standing in front of her brother's grave, she's in the middle of mourning and nothing has actually gone the way that she has hoped. She still chooses belief. In all of that, we see Martha take this beautiful posture. But even if you don't, I will still believe. Even if you don't, I will still believe. And it's kind of the opposite of what we heard from Kari last week when the prophets of Baal want to prove first, make it better, then I'll believe. But here we see a faith that says, I trust you, even though it's not better yet. Okay, sorry, Rob. I actually want to go a level deeper. Do you think they're ready?
Go for it. I think most of them are ready.
All right.
There's one or two asleep, but we'll wake them up in a minute. We got them.
So right here, Martha actually holds two things that are true. She believed in Jesus with all her heart, and she knows what life and death look like, though. She even says here, she says, I believed you are the Messiah, but she still couldn't calculate what was going to come. Because although she had faith, she couldn't yet fully grasp the fullness of who he was. So just like Martha, I feel like I see this hard balance that we try to walk as believers. We say, yes, I believe in God, but I also live in this certain reality. We believe, but we bring our limits. We bring our logic, we bring our experiences, we bring our, I've seen this before, moments, right? We look at an impossible situation and we think, okay, I know that God is real, but I also kind of know what I know about life. We trust, but we're still a little bit unsure. We hold faith, but we don't always expect resurrection. However, it's in those moments when it maybe feels too late or too far gone, that Jesus often shows up in a way that makes us say, wow, like I didn't even see that coming.
I think a lot of us find ourselves in those moments even now. we're facing things and we're just asking Jesus, like, what in the world? Your word is true. I'm holding on. And we're waiting for him to show up. And this is a powerful story for us.
So much goodness in here, Rob. My goodness. Can we just keep moving on? Let's see. So after Martha meets Jesus outside, she goes and gets Mary so that Mary can come and meet him, okay? So we're going to start at verse 32. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Let me interrupt you again. I'm sorry. Is this getting annoying to you?
No, this is okay. Good. Go, okay. Okay. Pop off.
This, what I love about this is Mary and Martha both come to Jesus, and they are so honest with him. They bring their struggles and their honest feelings to him. They're both frustrated with him. If you had been here, my brother would not be dead. And I love that because I think it gives us freedom to be honest with Jesus. He desires that type of relationship with us. That's what lament is actually all about.
Yes.
And so I just see this, and we need to walk in that freedom and be honest with Jesus. Keep going.
Facts, real, right there. Love it. Let's keep reading. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see.
Then Jesus wept.
The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?
Jesus was still angry
as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance.
Every time I read this narrative, I'm kind of hit in the face with how emotional Jesus is in this moment. It's something I don't see coming over and over. Here we see Jesus who is angry. He's frustrated. In fact, the word for anger here is in the original language is this deep groaning, this deep anger at what is transpiring. And not only that, we see these emotions of empathy and compassion rise up that actually lead him to tears. Here, Jesus is very human. Some people would say offensively, almost just obnoxiously human. But I love it. And I think that there's a lot that we get to see here. Because why is he angry? He's angry because he hates death. He hates death because this is not the way the world was intended to be. This is not how creation was supposed to be. Adam and Eve were to be walking in perfect harmony with Jesus as we see in the garden. But when sin entered in, so did death. And therefore, our favorite houseplant dies. Therefore, our pets sometimes die. Therefore, our loved ones die. And it makes Jesus angry because he hates death.
Wow.
And in it, we see something else rise up in Jesus. It's deep empathy and compassion for us. And in that, it drives him to tears. Why is he weeping? He's weeping because he is a God that gets it, that is full of empathy, that is full of compassion. And I don't know about you, Tanya, but for me, one of the reasons this is such a powerful narrative is because when I'm walking through loss, when I'm seeing injustices out there and something's rising in me, I'm reminded that I have a king, a God who gets it.
Come on.
So often I'm asked, how do I know if the anger I'm sensing at what is happening out there is righteous or kingdom building or not? And here I think we get a clue, because righteous anger is generally attached to empathy or compassion. Wow. And when it is attached to that, it drives us to action. It initiates action. It's what caused William Wilberforce to go after slavery in Britain. It's what's caused some of you who have lost loved ones to cancer. God hates cancer to give up a Saturday and walk so that we can raise money to find a cure. It's what causes some of us to give up our Saturday mornings to get food into the hands of people who need it. Because that righteous anger says no one in our city should be hungry. And here, I think Jesus's passionate anger mixed with his compassion causes him to do something pretty amazing, because we see one of the greatest miracles that he's ever did happen right here. And it happens because he's angry at death. And he says, death, I see you. And he puts death on notice. We pick it up in verse 39. It says, roll the stone aside, Jesus tells him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, John, why do you have to put this part in here? Protests. He has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you, you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside, and then Jesus looks up to heaven and says, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I'm saying this out loud for the sake of the people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus come out.
Oh, here he is.
Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is alive. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound and graveless, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go.
Come, Lazarus.
Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. The grave clothes are right here. I didn't see that coming.
Oh my goodness, grave clothes is out.
Amazing.
Lazarus is alive. Everybody, y'all see him? He came down the aisle here. And he's so cute. Love it. Well, if this wasn't a didn't see that coming moment, then I truly don't know what is. This whole scene right here, Lazarus coming out, and this whole scene in the Bible here, actually reminds me of a Korean drama.
I knew that would come up at some point.
No, seriously. So Korean dramas are like Asian telenovelas, okay? They're like toxic and it's amazing. If you have seen these shows, you'll know that these shows put you on this emotional roller coaster ride, but you like somehow don't ever want to get off. So the K-dramas, they'll do something crazy. Like they'll kill off a main character halfway through the story. And you're looking at the TV and you're like, what? What else is going to happen now that the main character is gone? However, three episodes later, out of nowhere, that character comes back because apparently when they were being stabbed, the sword only grazed their heart and they floated down the riverbank where an old villager found them and nursed them back to health. And all of a sudden, we as the audience were like, okay, didn't see that one coming. But I love it. Gets me every time. So here in John 11, it's definitely one of those audience, us, didn't see it coming moments, right? Except there's no acting involved. And as much as we want to be, or let me just say I want to be, in a Korean drama, this is not a K-drama right here. This, what just happened here, is real. Like, Jesus actually raised the dead. He literally meant every word when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, hold on. I don't think we get it yet. Let me just go a little bit more. He is the power over death. He is the life that's stronger than the grave. He doesn't just talk about hope. He is this living hope. And when he speaks, even death has to listen. So when he said, Lazarus, come out, death had to let go. The grave lost, a dead man walked. And here's the thing, church. This story, it's not just about Lazarus. It's about us. This is God's redemption story. Because one day, every single one of us is going to face something that feels final. Grief, shame, a diagnosis, a loss, sin that just seems too dark to be forgiven. And in those moments, the enemy will whisper, this is it. You're done and it's over. But Jesus steps in and he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life, and I am not done with you yet. And Amen. He calls us out of dead places. He calls us out of fear, out of addiction, out of hopelessness, out of sin, out of shame, and into Amen. Freedom. But just like Lazarus, some of us are still walking around in our grave clothes. We're still wrapped in what held us down. But Jesus doesn't just raise us. He says this. He says, unwrap him and let him go. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us not to just get up and to just breathe again. He wants us to live freely. This is the heart of the gospel. that Jesus didn't just come to make bad people good, but he came to make dead people alive. And Amen. That's the didn't see it coming moment for all of us, that even at our worst, even in our darkest tombs, Jesus still comes for us. He still loves us, and he still speaks life. And when he does, the only thing left for you to do is to step out of the grave.
Amen. And that's our invitation this morning. As the worship team comes back out and leads us, there's kind of two things happening today. We are celebrating that he is the resurrection and the life, that he holds the keys to death in Hades. And we're going to celebrate it big with this last song. Yes. And at the same time, there's an invitation, because some of us still have on some grave clothes. And today, we want to encourage you to get those off, to walk out of this place fully in freedom. And some of us in the room might even still be in the grave. We haven't tasted this one that we do declare is resurrection and the life. We haven't declared that he is King Jesus. And if that's you today, after this next song, know there'll be somebody here at the cross that would love to have a conversation with you. Church family, we celebrate and we walk in the invitation this morning. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. We declare that you are the resurrection and the life. And you didn't come to make bad people good. You came to give us freedom fully, to bring life to areas that are dead. So we celebrate that today. Lord, would your spirit stir in this room? And if there are those that have grave clothes and they know it, would they walk out without those on today? Would you meet them in a profound way here? And Lord, if those in this room that don't know you, if something is stirring, would you release courage into them to come and ask some questions at the cross today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.